I have for you this morning what I believe is a very, very important message. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and I'll be reading verse 3 for my text. Now, here's the title of the message. I have entitled this message, The Christ of the Bible. The Christ of the Bible. Now, not many years ago, a man said to me, "There's something that I do not understand. Will you please explain it to me?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, the Bible, speaking of Jesus Christ, says this in Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him." He's despised and rejected of men. Is that correct? I said, "That's what it says." And he said, "Doesn't it say over in the book of Matthew that when our Lord came into a city one time, that all the people of the city, great multitudes, came out to meet Jesus Christ, and they asked him to leave their country and not come back?" Is that correct? I said, "That's exactly right. They ask him to leave their country and never return." And he says, "Doesn't it say in the book of John, chapter 15, the Lord Jesus himself speaking, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you?" I said, "That's exactly what it says." Christ said that many times. He told his disciples one time, "Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you." Don't be amazed if people hate you, because they hate Christ. And then he said, "Didn't Pilate ask the people?" There was a multitude gathered on that special day. And he asked them, "Whom shall I release unto you? Barabbas, a thief? A condemned criminal? A convicted murderer? Shall I release unto you Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And didn't the people say, "Give us Barabbas. We prefer Barabbas to Jesus Christ." And Pilate said, "Well, what shall I do with Jesus?" The people said, "Crucify him." I said, "That's correct." They said, "Give us a thief and crucify Jesus Christ." That's what they thought of him. And he said, "Didn't Jesus say over in Luke 10, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me?" I said, "That's exactly correct. The Bible says all those things that you have mentioned." Well, he says, "What does all that mean? What does all that mean? No one hates Jesus. No one hates Jesus. Why, he fed the hungry, and he healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and he blessed the children, and he went about doing good. People don't hate Jesus." My reply was this. Now, you listen to me. All of those scriptures I read to you are right there in the Word of God, and you've read them and you've heard them. He was despised and rejected of men, hated. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was crucified and slain. Rejected of all men. He came into his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. Now, my reply was this. The people of the world, then and now, the people of the world did not hate Jesus of Nazareth because of what he did. They didn't hate him because of what he did. They hated him because of what he said. Now, will you please listen to this? They didn't hate Jesus of Nazareth for what he did. They hated him then, and they hate him now for what he said and what he claimed for himself and what he declared about redemption, about his Father, about sin, about them, and about himself. That's why they hated him. Now listen carefully. Don't leave me. I'll show you something that you may not have understood up to this point. They didn't hate Jesus Christ when he performed miracles. They rather lauded and praised him. It says in John chapter 2, verse 23, and I see the preachers talk about Jesus heals and all these things. I know God heals. But that's not the issue. It wasn't the issue then. It's not the issue now. Nobody hates a doctor. Nobody hates a healer. Nobody hates a man who relieves people of pain. And these people didn't hate him for that purpose. In John chapter 2, verse 23, listen. Now, when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed in him, in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But he did not commit himself to them, because he knew what was in them, and he needed not that any man testify unto him what was in man. Well, they believed on him when they saw the miracles. And then in John 6, verse 14, when our Lord fed the 5,000, he took, what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And you know what they said? When they got through eating that fine meal, they said, why, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And they followed him all the way to the other side of the sea. When he healed people, they praised him. When he fed them, they followed him. And then in Matthew 21, when he rode into Jerusalem, you know this is so, when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, the Jewish people in multitudes spread their garments, the scripture says right here in Matthew 21, they spread their garments before him. They cut palm branches from trees and spread them in his path. And they began to cry, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Oh, they had visions of great earthly kingdoms. They had visions of Jesus of Nazareth sitting on a throne and restoring the Jews to the power and glory of David and Solomon, and they were so excited about it, they didn't know what to do. So I'm saying that there was no conflict with Jesus Christ concerning what he did. It was what he said. Now listen to me. What he did was not the issue. And I'm telling you this now. You'll never reveal the true feelings of a man's heart toward Jesus Christ by talking about his power to heal. Nobody objects to that. Everybody's for that. And you can talk about it from now till he comes back to the earth, and you'll never reveal the true feelings of a man's heart about Jesus Christ talking about his power to heal, or talking about his power to feed the hungry, or his power to give benefits and blessings to those who follow him. The true nature of men, their true feelings towards Jesus Christ are revealed when you preach to them what he said. When you preach to them the gospel which he preached. When you declare the doctrines that our Lord Jesus Christ set forth. That's when the true enmity, that's when the true hatred comes forth from the human heart. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Do you hear what I'm saying so far? I've tried to lay a foundation from the scriptures that are true. It wasn't what Christ did that brought about the enmity of heart against him. It wasn't what Christ did. It was what he said. Now listen to these scriptures. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. When he ended these sayings, they were astonished at his doctrine. And then listen to this in Luke 4:28. And all that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, when they heard these things, not when they saw miracles and people breaking crutches and throwing away wheelchairs and things, when they heard these things, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. The wrath came because of what they heard. And what they heard was what he said. Not what he did, what he said. And then in John 10:19, listen to this scripture. There was a division among them for these sayings. Now, there was a division among the people because of him. And the reason was what he said, what he preached, what our Lord declared unto them. And then in John 6, verse 60, listen to this. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, our Lord had preached to them, and when they heard what he said, they declared, this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they went back and walked no more with him. Do you see what I'm saying? Our Lord could heal the sick and raise the dead, give sight to the blind and cause the lame to walk and feed the hungry and do all these things, and they had no objections whatsoever. But when he began to declare who he is and what he came to do and his Father's will and his Father's power and all these things concerning his gospel, that's when there was a division. And that's when wrath came up in their hearts against him. And that's when they declared war against him, and that's when they set about to kill him because of what he said. Now, I've given you that again and again and again. When he finished these sayings, the people were astonished. And when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And there was a division for these sayings. And then when his disciples, not the 12, but his followers, when they heard these sayings, they said, we can't hear that. We can't hear that. And they went back and walked no more with him. Now, I'm saying this as clearly as I can say it. Men do not despise, and they do not reject Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of charity. Everybody loves charity. There's nobody against charity. They didn't reject him and despise him because of good works. Who on earth would line up against good works? They didn't despise him and reject him because of morality. Most everybody I know is for morality. But they refused his person and his work in redemption. And the storm that rages about Jesus of Nazareth, the storm that rages, has always raged about the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, involves four things. I'm going to deal with them in the time that we've got left together. There are four things involved in this storm about the head of Jesus of Nazareth. Number one, who is he? Who is he? Loud and clear, who is he? Number two, what did he come to do? And number three, what authority and power and right does he have? What authority? And then fourthly, where is he now? Now I want you to listen to the scripture. If you care to, take your Bible, follow with me. In John 10, verse 30 through verse 33, that's John 10, verse 30, the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And he said to them, many good works have I done among you. For which of these works do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we stone thee not. We've got no objections to good works. We're not stoning you because of good works. That's not why we're angry. We're stoning you because you are a man and you make yourself God. You claim to be God. They understood exactly what he was saying. These men understood exactly what Jesus Christ was claiming. They didn't care if he roamed the streets and healed the sick. They didn't care if he roamed the streets and made the blind to see. They didn't care if he roamed the streets and relieved the poverty and distress. They said, you can't be God. You can't be God. Now, that's exactly what they were angry about. And it's a clear issue. It was to them. It ought to be to you and me. Isaiah 7:14. Let me read you some scripture. In Isaiah 7:14, the scripture says, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. In Isaiah 9:6, the prophet wrote, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when the disciples asked Jesus of Nazareth to show them the Father, they said, we'll be satisfied if you'll show us the Father. And he said to them, have I been this long with you and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen God. When you look at me, you're looking at God. When you hear me, you're hearing God. When you believe me, you believe in God. For I and my Father are one. That was the issue. That's what brought the wrath. That's what brought the the anger from the people. That's what made them nail him to a cross. They said, we have no king but Caesar. We'll not have this man reign over us. He was rejected in his office as king. He was mocked in his office as king. He was crucified with that claim written in three languages over his cross, and he's exalted right now in heaven as king. Now that's the issue. He's got Almighty. John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen to this verse. When Paul was leaving the elders at Ephesus, he said to them, you take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which God's made you overseer, and you feed the flock of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. You feed God's church, God's people, which God purchased with his own blood. God was in Christ. When Thomas fell at his feet, he looked into the face of Jesus Christ and said, my Lord and my God. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, the Father declares, let all the angels of God worship him. And again, he said in Hebrews 1:8, thy throne, O God, is forever. Now, I'm telling you, you can raise a lot of ruckus and things like that by drawing up issues in your church, but I'll tell you where the issue is. It's who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? That was the issue then, and that's the issue now. And that's what brought the wrath. This man says, well, they don't hate Jesus. They don't hate the Jesus they're hearing preached, because he's been whittled down. He's been made in the image that men let him bear instead of bearing the image of the Heavenly Father. Who is he? All right. In John 8:56, now listen to this. Our Lord said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Jews said, well, you're not even 50 years old. You're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to stone him. When? When he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am is the name of God. All right, the second great issue is this. What did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come into the world to do? Well, he came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. Save sinners by his obedience and his sacrificial substitutionary death. And these men, these religious men, rejected his charges against them. He said they were sinners. They said, we be not sinners. He said, all men are sinners. They rejected his charges against them when he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They said, well, we, Abraham said, we've never been in bondage to anybody. We're not in bondage. And Christ said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. He's in bondage to sin. And then they said, well, we be not born of fornication. That is, we be not born in sin. We don't believe in original sin. We have one Father, even God. And he said, no. Now listen to this. He said, no. You're of your father, the devil, and his works you'll do. And he was a liar from the beginning, and you're a liar just like he's a liar. Now, that upset, that's what made him angry. That's what made him angry. Our Lord Jesus Christ declared the true condition. They said, we're not in bondage. We weren't born in sin. We be not sinners. God is our Father. And Christ said, you were born in sin. You're the servants of sin. The devil is your father, and you need mercy. That was it. That was it. And they hated him. And then they resented his love for and association with sinners. The Pharisees said to his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Our Lord heard them. He said, because the well don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You go learn what that means. The Son of Man's come to seek and to save the lost. That was offensive to those good, moral, righteous, religious men. And it is offensive today. It offends man's dignity. It offends his ego. It offends his pride to tell him he was born in sin and corrupt by nature and a child of wrath and does not know God, that God's not the Father of all men. He's the Father of believers in Christ. They said, God's our Father. He said, the devil's your Father. That's what made them mad. And that's what men hate today. And I answered the man's question. He said, nobody hates Jesus. I said, they do hate the Christ of the Bible. And then the third great issue was his authority. Listen to this in Luke 4. And all they that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill and would have murdered him. But he passed through their midst. His time was not yet come. What brought on this awful, dreadful act of anger and wrath? What made these people who were worshiping in a temple on the Sabbath day, what made them turn into a lynch mob? What he said. Not what he did, what he said. We said, preacher, for heaven's sake, what did he say? I tell you what he said. He told them the truth. He said, I tell you a truth. You see, all these people assumed they were people of God. They were Israelites. They were of the seed of Abraham by flesh. They kept the Sabbath day. They kept the law. They did all these things. They assumed they had a corner on God. And our Lord said to them, I tell you a truth. There were many widows in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, and God fed none of them. He fed a Gentile. And there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the times of days of the prophet, and God healed none of them. He healed a Gentile. That's when they grew angry. When our Lord declared, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. And they rose up in such anger that they would have killed him. They tried to throw him off a cliff because he told them that salvation's of the Lord. That men have no corner on God, that God's not obligated to any man, that all authority is given unto him in heaven and earth. That's what he said. He prayed that in John 17. He said, Father, thou hast given me all authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. The leper said to him one day, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. And my friend, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he said then, he says today. And what he is then, he is today. And what he did then, he does today. That's right. He's God. He came to save sinners. And he'll save whom he will. Salvation's a gift of God. It's through the mercy of God. It's not earned. It's not bought. God's under no obligation. Now, that's true. You're understanding some more now of why they hated him, aren't you? Because don't you feel some of you rising up in your heart? That's not fair. That's not fair. If God does it, it's right. See, God is the standard of right, not you and me. And then the fourth great issue is this. Where is he now? Where is Jesus Christ now? Where is he now? He's got to be somewhere. Where is he now? All right, John 6:60. Listen. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew that they murmured at his word, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? And what he's been talking about is a vital union with Christ, eating his flesh, drinking his blood, salvation by grace, his sovereignty. And they were offended. And he said, does this offend you? Does this offend you? What will be your reaction when you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? If this offends you, wait till you see where he is now. You talk about offensive. Well, you say, well, where is he now? He's exalted and seated at the right hand of the majesty in glory. That's where the hated, despised, rejected man of sorrows, Jesus of Nazareth, is right now. He's on the right hand of God. You see, when he was buried and rose again, he ascended as our great high priest. He ascended to heaven. And the scripture says this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God as our great high priest. And he entered not into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. And there on the mercy seat of glory, he himself is the mercy seat and the altar and the sacrifice and the atonement and the one to whom it's made. But there on the mercy seat of glory, our Lord perfected and sanctified every believer. And then it says he ascended as our mediator. There's one God and there's one man, the one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And our Lord sits at the right hand of God. You say, what does he do? He ever liveth to make intercession for me and for you. And then he ascended with all power as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is coming again. And the scripture says that when he comes again, every eye will see him and every tongue will confess that he's Lord, and every knee will bow to the glory of God the Father. So when the man asked me this question, do men hate Jesus Christ? And I said, they surely do. Well, I don't believe anybody hates Jesus. They don't hate the Jesus that's a figment of their own imagination. They hate the Jesus of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, who has all authority, who is prophet, priest, and king, who reigns in glory, who is the only mediator between God and men.